Turn your Bibles, if you have one, to Matthew chapter 6. And today, we will finish chapter 6 of this sermon that Jesus gives. One more chapter left for it, but today we will catch the last part of this section that we didn't finish up last week. So as we read together, starting at verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So good words. It's a good sermon. As we take it apart bit by bit, again, I hope, keep in mind all the things that are coming into it. When we read these things, you know, just to let you in on my thinking. So I look at something like this, and the first thing that comes to my mind always is, you know, God, what does this say? If this is written in a specific time by a specific person, well, what does this say? What does this mean? And then as we get to that meaning, then my prayer throughout the week is, okay, Lord, what do you have for us? Trinity Evangelical Free Church, Fenimore, Wisconsin. God, what are you saying to us? And how that generally plays itself out is, what are you saying to me, God? What are you speaking to my heart? And I, as we come to text, as we come to these, as the Bible, I hope and pray that is your mindset. Always, God, what is it? What do you want to say to me today, right now, right here, 2018? Because this document is alive. That's right. Because of his Spirit. And it gives us everything we need. So, questions for the day. So now, when you wake up in the morning, you know, tomorrow morning, you look ahead at your day, start thinking about it. What is it that comes first and foremost to your mind? Do you go through your to-do list? Are you looking ahead to a test at school, a project that's coming up, work that needs to be done, equipment that's broke down? What is it that comes first and foremost in your week? Now, if you're like me, which you aren't, you know, usually I wake up on a Monday morning and I shake the cobwebs out of my head and I think, okay, what day is it? What route do I have? What's that going to entail? You know, how much food should I pack? If it's a long route, a short route? What time can I maybe anticipate being home today? And then I start thinking, okay, then when I do get home, what's on my list? Okay, I got sermon prep. I've got home stuff going on. I've got kids that need my attention, and I want them to have my attention. And I go through all these things. So consider this question then, in light of today's reading. In light of what Jesus is speaking to us in this sermon. And he tells us, you know, last week we spoke about money. Don't be worried about money, about things, about accumulating wealth. Because God will take care of you. We can trust that. He feeds the animals. He clothes nature. And using that, he says, don't worry about these things. And then today, now, he gives us another conclusion. He says, therefore, right? So I know all of you went, therefore, right? Therefore, what does it mean? Okay, he just told us, birds of the air, grass in the field. Okay, so if we know that, if we know this about God, if we know that God will take care of us, that God loves us, that he wants good for you, not evil, Therefore, don't worry about these things. And he repeats it again. So this must be important. Don't say and don't be worried about things, saying, what shall I eat or what shall I drink or what shall we wear? And then today he gives us two more considerations, very important ones. In fact, really kind of focuses this whole section about worry and money. He gives us two additional reasons to not be worried about these things. And the first is that the Gentiles worry about these things. Where he says, the Gentiles seek these things. So who are Gentiles today? Right? We're all Gentiles, so to speak. So what does that mean? It means non-believers, those who have faith. All right? So don't be like them. Don't be like those who don't trust God. You know, and that includes, you know, again, atheists, agnostics, cultural Christians who are there in word, but certainly not in deed. Don't be like them, because your Father knows you need these things. See how it always comes back to that, doesn't it? It always comes back to God. It's about God. Yeah. Trust Him. Know that He loves you. Know that no matter what, He has your very best interest in mind. Even when it seems like He doesn't. Even when it seems like our circumstances say otherwise. Now, today, as I was looking at this, an interesting question came to my mind as I was reading some things. And that is, I saw and was made aware of an interesting correlation, all right? Jesus says, don't be anxious about things, saying, what do I eat and drink? Okay, he says, don't be anxious. And then the next verse, he says, for the Gentiles, he didn't say, for the Gentiles are anxious about those things. No, he says, for the Gentiles seek these things. And I think we can make a connection there of be anxious and seeking. So it's not simply a question of worry or anxiety. It's a question of what do you seek? What is it that is important? Where does your mind go? What is your thinking? What is your ambition? What drives you every day? That is the fundamental heart question that Jesus is getting to here.
Right.
What is your ambition? Now, when we think of ambition, I mean, we can look at it a couple of different ways, right? Oftentimes it's negative. We think of someone that's ambitious and they just drive and they don't care about what anybody else thinks. It can be a very negative thing. It can be very positive too. It can move you to great deeds, to taking care of stuff, to, you know, building wonderful whatever. You know, but as basis, it is about what's important, what moves you, drives you. And you all have it. You may not think so. You may look at somebody and say they don't have any ambition. Well, that may be their ambition. All right? We're all moved by something. It can be negative or it can be positive. But it sets up the fundamental question we all have to answer, and that is, what is it? What drives us? I read an interesting quote in one of these. It says, Jesus' disciples. When we talk about these verses, it shows that a disciple of Jesus must live a life that is quantitatively different from those who do not have trust in God and rely simply on material things. What we see here in these verses is not just don't do something. And we see this all the time in the Bible. Put off the old self, put on the new self.
Right.
Don't worry about these things, but what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So He gives us what not to do, but also, you know, He won't just leave a void there. He wants us to actively pursue something greater and better, to trust in Him and to seek what's great. And in that, then, we will be taken care of with the other things. So there's two aspects of seeking here that we want to look at. One, seek first the kingdom of God. So first question comes, what is the kingdom of God? What is it? Well, I think we could put it this way. The kingdom of God is God's rule over His own people, which He Himself has inaugurated, and which begins in anyone's life when they humble themselves, repent, believe, submit, and are born again. That's the kingdom of God. When God speaks to your heart, and that heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh, you're in the kingdom. You're in. And it becomes everything. God's kingdom. So then what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Seek first God's kingdom. What does that look like? How do we do it? I would suggest this. To seek first God's kingdom is to desire above all, to enter into, submit to, and participate in spreading the news of the saving reign of God.
Amen.
Okay, let me say that again. To seek first the kingdom of God is to desire above all else, to enter into, submit to, and participate in spreading the news of the saving reign of God. Now, there's four parts of that I want to make sure you understand. One is above all. Above all, as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Him, who saved us by His blood, sacrificed everything for us, this seeking the kingdom is above everything else. Everything. It's above job. It's above family. It's above my comfort. Above my pleasures. Everything. Above all. And in that desire above all is a desire to enter into. That's what moves us. That's what happened when we're saved. A desire to see God as beautiful, as treasure. And we want to. We want to enter into this kingdom. We want to be part of it. I think there's a part of all of us in humanity to want to be part of something that's bigger than us. And we try to fill the hole with many things. But to seek first the kingdom of God is to want to enter into that kingdom more and more and more. And to submit to it. To acknowledge that it's worthy of our attention. It's worthy of this single-minded devotion that we spoke of earlier, right? And in doing so, we want to see it grow. When this precious treasure, when this wonderful kingdom of God, when we see God for who He is and what He's done, and to want to glorify Him, we want it to be spread more and more and more and more. That's what it is. And it starts with ourselves. God's kingdom comes into us. And then it would then include our immediate environment, our families. Think about that. Just in your family. Is God's seeking God's kingdom first part of your family life? Is your desire for your children, your aunts, your uncles, mothers and fathers, to see God's kingdom grow in them? I was reminded of a Jerry Bridges book, and in it he says that all Christians should preach the gospel to themselves every day.
Yeah.
The gospel is not something that we hear one time and then move on to other things. Every day, is it first and foremost? Are we telling our children that every day, seek God's kingdom first? And then out of that, then, we move on to our nation or the world. The great missionary impetus is this, God's kingdom. And the great desire in our own hearts to want to see it spread more and more and more. And then we also have that already not yet aspect of it, right? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is coming. It's here. That's what Jesus said, right? But there's a final, a consummation, a glorious fulfillment of all of it that we long for. The earth is groaning in the pains of childbirth, and we long for that consummation of His kingdom. To be in His kingdom is synonymous with enjoying His salvation. Do you enjoy your salvation? Are you just happy with it? Did you know that God wants you to be happy? It's true. He does. Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm not feeling very happy. I don't get to do this. I don't get to do that. That's not God's kingdom. He wants you to enjoy His salvation. So to be in it is to enjoy it. And then knowing that only the born again have seen and entered the kingdom. And to seek it first is to spread the good news of salvation. That's what it's about. To seek first the kingdom of God is to desire for it to spread. It's evangelism. That's what we're about. If you're a disciple of Christ, if God has changed your heart, then to seek His kingdom is to want it to spread more than anything. Above all else, everything falls into place under that desire. But there is a second part here, and it's interesting that Jesus makes a separate category. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, honestly, scholars kind of have some different opinions on what this is. Are they different things? Are they the same thing? Well, first, I think it should be clear that we're not talking about justification or salvation here, okay? We're not talking about seeking that. I mean, that's already happened for the believer, all right? I think there's a couple things, ways to look at this. One is that, first, it's the desire to be characterized more fully in line with God's righteousness, as we've seen in the sermon. So just the immediate context of what we've been reading right here, starting way back in chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek, all those things. And then going into his moral standards of, adultery and divorce and all these different things. And then moving on, as we've been talking about, the religious aspects of it. Prayer, fasting, giving. So to be concerned first with his righteousness is to want to be more and more and more in line with that. That's the sanctification aspect of God's working in us daily. So we have a longing for this more and more and more. Again, the question is, what's your ambition? What is it you long for? Is it this? Is it his kingdom and his righteousness? But theologian John Stott had some thoughts about this. He thinks that possibly there's a wider context to his righteousness. It is all the individual righteousness that we all are seeking. But he thinks this. He goes, well, if God is righteous, or because God is righteous, he desires righteousness in every human community. Okay, so can we? That's, I think, a reasonable statement, right? And not just the Christian community. I mean, God's desire ultimately is for his righteousness, his reign to be over all. And we know that it's coming. And we even spoke in early in this sermon of salt and light, of our desire to be influencers in our communities, in our world, right?
Yeah.
So this seeking first his righteousness has this aspect of seeking his righteousness around us. If seeking first the kingdom is spreading the news, evangelism, then this seeking righteousness is an aspect of the social, the justice, the mercy, the love. If Christians then seek God's righteousness, it's our job then to make it attractive.
Yeah.
And they'll see it in us. We see that this is true, like in the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets didn't come and just rail against Israel and Judah, did they? They often spoke about the nations around and passed judgment on them and God's desire for his justice and righteousness to be part of them, even though they weren't followers of Jehovah. So then we are to seek that righteousness around us, in our personal life, in our businesses, our schools, in our nation, and around the world. Salt and light. If kingdom righteousness is more pleasing to God than unrighteousness, then it just makes sense that in our world that we want to be part of seeing justice rather than injustice, of promoting and wanting to see freedom rather than oppression, of desiring love and not hate, of wanting peace and not war. That's seeking first his righteousness in our world. So, what's your ambition? What is your greatest desire? What is the main thing, the overriding purpose for your lives? When you wake up in the morning and you think of your day, are you seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness? I will confess to you, there are many mornings when honestly that is not the first thing that comes to my mind. Often the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, my back hurts, or my shoulder is sore. Or, oh, it's Tuesday, I got to go up to Casanova in Ironton, I just don't want to do that one today. What is your ambition? What we've seen in this sermon, Jesus gives us these contrasting choices over and over and over again. So when we think about what we want to be, what we want our lives to be part of, I mean, when we were kids growing up, right? I mean, we had ambitions. I want to be a cowboy, I want to be a fireman, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a singer, I want whatever it is, a superhero. And we do the same thing as adults, don't we? Yeah, I don't want to be a cowboy anymore. Well, that'd be cool. But maybe it's, I want to have X amount of dollars in my bank account. I want to have a certain size house. I want to have a certain car. Jesus gives us these choices. A secular versus a Christian. A treasure on earth versus a treasure in heaven. A food and clothing versus the kingdom of God. And the question before us is, which is it going to be? Again, John Stott says it so well, I think. In the end, just as there are only two kinds of piety, okay, either you're seeking God's righteousness for his glory or for yourself, okay? There's either the self-centered and the God-centered way. So it's one of the two. So there are only two kinds of ambition. One can be ambitious either for yourself or for God. There is no third alternative. It's one or the other, people. It's one or the other. And that is a challenging word. So which is it going to be, is the question, right? Now, before you run home in despair, grace.
Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It comes back, as I've said several times this last few weeks. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? Even if you see yourself falling short, that's fine. But do you want it? Is it your desire? Is it your drive? Our ambitions can be even modest, and that's the danger that we see sometimes. Is you may say, "Well, I'm not wanting big cars, big homes. I just want to feed my family and be able to pay my bills and make sure my kids have shoes. What's wrong with that?" The problem can be is whether it's modest ambition or grandiose ambition. I want to take over the world. If it's me, I want. All I want is for my children to have shoes and clothes. All I want is for my bills to be paid. All I want is for me and my family to be fed, which are good things. But if that is your end of your ambition, then we've fallen short. They're both self-centered, grand or modest. And the flip side of that is, when you think about it, if our ambition then is for God and His kingdom and His righteousness, we cannot have modest ambition there. We want just a little bit more honor for God? We want God to just be sort of glorified? No. To be ambitious for God is to be part of something that is infinitely bigger than ourselves or anything we can imagine. And hallelujah, how great is that?
Hallelujah.
A disciple of Christ whose heart has been changed, they long for His supreme honor and for His reign, for His glory, for His true place to be seen around us. That's why we've spoken of how we can become angry when we see God's name put down, because we want Him to be honored. If this then is our genuine dominant ambition, if that is what really moves us, if we wake up and think that is what I want more than anything, then everything else can fall in line. Then these secondary ambitions, other things, feeding our family or whatever it is, can properly have a place. It's okay. I was really trying to think this week, how does that work? How do I do that? And I don't know. I think maybe it's like, okay, so how do I make Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Your kingdom first, Your righteousness first, when I'm driving a garbage truck across Wisconsin? How in the world does that work? I think it might be kind of like this. But even in that, I just want to be more and more like Him. So I thank Him for the job that I have to provide. I look at these men and women that I work with and think constantly, all the time, what can I do maybe to share Christ with them? How can I arrange situations where I can speak to their lives? These guys I work with, they need Christ. Oh, they need Him badly.
Yeah.
Can I somehow, in this driving a garbage truck, Lord, how can I make Your kingdom do more? See, it's just a focus of mindset that above all else. So how can I play football or basketball for God's kingdom to be glorified and honored? How can I take a test at school? How can I work at a job? How can I raise children? How can I go camping or whatever it is for God's kingdom and for His righteousness more and more? And it may come to sometimes God have us choose things that we may have to cut out. We don't do this, we don't do that, or we do this, we don't do that. But it's putting everything under this umbrella of His kingdom and His righteousness. It allows us to develop our gifts and our desires and our talents for His glory. So you're a veterinarian or a teacher or whatever it is, all of that can be there. But it also begs the question of every believer. And I think this is true, that, you know, often we think about missionaries, and I think our thoughts should always be, even for 52-year-olds or 80-year-olds or 8-year-olds, not that, Lord, You don't want me to be a missionary, do You? But maybe it should be, Lord, maybe You do.
Yeah.
Maybe maybe it's time. I mean, has God given you a firm no? If His kingdom is first, maybe we kind of assume that He wants us to go, and we wait for the firm no to not go. And maybe it's just going across the street, which may be maybe more terrifying than going overseas. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to seek first His kingdom. We want to spread it. We want His righteousness to be manifest around us more and more and more. Lesser ambitions are safe and right when they are not the end, but rather they serve the primary. Everything you do, your job, your homes, whatever it is, should fall into serve what God is doing in His kingdom and His righteousness. So that maybe should be the question. Whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, when you get up, Lord, how is my driving a garbage truck serving your kingdom? How is my homeschooling serving your kingdom? How is my job today serving your kingdom? How is my school? How is my practices? How is my rehearsals? Whatever it is, how is it serving the greater? And don't let those things become the greater. He ends the sermon. Therefore then, okay, so in light of all this, okay, if you have these things in order, if you got all this in place, then you don't have to be worried about tomorrow. In fact, he says, tomorrow's got enough trouble. Today has enough trouble for itself, right?
Yeah.
That's the conclusion. He says, don't worry about these things. They're trivial compared to what he has for us today. My prayer for us this week is to grapple with this, to think each day. When you wake up tomorrow morning, try to ask the question, what is my ambition today? In my to-do list, how can I make those things serve God's kingdom and not the other way around? And then more and more we'll be His people. And this town can be transformed because they see something great in us. Amen?
Yeah.
We pray. Father, I'm grateful. And help us, God, to pray truly with our hearts. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. However that looks. And I thank You for the grace that You extend to us. And Lord, if there is anyone here who is honestly thinking, that is not me, I don't think I think that way, but they want to, God, by Your Spirit, move them in that way. Or maybe they, again, want to. Lord, today, make that change in us by Your Spirit, and we will see Your name be lifted up, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's kingdom and His righteousness this week. Amen.